We'll start here in 26 and we'll just go for a little bit longer here. It says this. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beg you or beseech thee to hear me patiently. So, anybody have any comments about verses 1 through 3 as the lead up to what he's about to say?
Was Agrippa not himself a Jew? I think Herod the Great was.
No, and he was like, I looked this up here a while back. He was like the great-grandson of Herod the Great. Or some, there's some kind of a direct relation there. But I don't remember him being a Jew. Now, I did read that shortly after this, and again, this I can't cite my source here, so make sure you validate it yourself. Shortly after this, King Agrippa lost some control of his province there in Judea and was put to death. Transferred and then put to death. So, again, kind of don't, you need to verify that.
All certainly you have to stand before the court, and you have to get King Agrippa to listen to him. He's very courteous.
And that's something we've seen throughout this book of Acts, right? Is that Paul, Peter, they're paying honor to whom honor is due, which Peter and Paul both later in the New Testament tell us to do that. Render unto Caesar what Caesar's. Of course, that's the words of Jesus, but to pay homage and to honor those who are in positions of authority. And he's obviously playing that out here. Now, again, I want to bring out something that's been brought up in previous chapters, and that is Paul's aim versus the typical aim in a situation like this. He is not trying to vindicate himself in a civil court of law. He's not trying to do that. His aim is to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the reason why I continuously emphasize that is because these situations in our lives that occur, be they of a legal sort like that, is very unlikely for most of us. Whatever situation, employment situations, relationship situations, all of these things God could be designing for this end. And the question is, do we have the spiritual perception to look beyond the carnal immediate reasons and see the overarching providential reason of God, and that is there's something bigger going on here, right? So at times I've seen people who, you know, based upon a situation, maybe they're a football coach and they are trying to pray with their players and they get sued and they go to court. I'm not saying it's always this perfectly neat situation and spiritual people are always involved. I don't know. What I am saying is that in every one of those situations, we've got to look for, God, what am I to aim for? Maybe jail time being fined is in your will. If I can testify of the grace of God to people, which seems to be exactly what's occurring here. Anybody else have a thought in Paul's lead up here? All right, so as we're thinking about Paul responding, he's responding to somebody who is a very educated about the Jewish way. And so when he begins to detail here at the beginning his youth, that's going to be impressionable on King Agrippa. When I was a youth, I was of this group. He's informed about that, even more than we are. He's highly informed about the way those people function, knows how these people function. So look at verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 8. It says this, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews. So that's a pretty big statement right here. They've known me since my youth. All the Jews have known about me. That's a pretty big statement, right? So this helps to further establish this notion that Paul is very famous. Likely, many of the same Sanhedrin people he's testifying that he's peers with, he went to school with. And as he tells us in other places, I excelled even above all my contemporaries in another text. I excelled above them. And so here he's reiterating that. I'm not some new guy that just come on the scene. I've known all these people. They're part of my group from childhood. And that's exactly what he says here. Verse 5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? All right, so initial thoughts here. Initial thoughts with what is argumentation-wise Paul doing here?
He's pointing out that his beginnings and basis are the same as the people that are accusing him. Mm-hmm. That's where they all come from.
Mm-hmm. I think he's also establishing credibility. He's saying something radical must have occurred. Like, he's setting himself up, right? Something radical had to have taken place because I was one of them in every single way, and you know what that means. So it would be, although obviously the angle is much different, it would be very similar to me saying, you know, I was part of the Taliban, an extremist group who obviously will put people to death if they get in their way, just like these people here. I was part of this extremist group of Pharisees. They know that if they would admit that to you. And if they would go back and tell you I was basically the valedictorian among all of them, the leader of all of them, going and killing and persecuting the way, all the things that we've learned from the book of Acts. And so he's trying to establish the credibility of the testimony he's about to give. Because then he's going to say, I was doing all these things, and then I saw Christ risen from the dead. And now they're trying to kill me for it. But the buildup is super important to establish his credibility about the event that changed his life. And I think that's the angle that Paul seems to be going here, that would have not only been effective to Agrippa and those other people, but also especially with, you would think, the people who are accusing him. Somebody else have a comment or a thought about what Paul's doing here, his lead up here? Anything? All right, so let's look at verse 9. It says this, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Now, notice his insistence on Jerusalem throughout his testimony. Right? He insists in verse, where is it? 5, 6. Basically grew up, verse 4. My manner of life, when I grew up, was at Jerusalem. They're known of all the Jews. That's where it took place. Now here, I went to Jerusalem. So verse 10. Or I guess verse 9 it says, I intended to do a lot of things to harm the cause of Christ, cause of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did those things in Jerusalem. And so there's witnesses of that. That wasn't that long ago. Right? And many of the saints that I put in prison. So I was the responsible one. So again, this isn't saying something like a politician will do today and say, you know, one time a long time ago, I attended a march to which there's no, you know, there's no evidence. I used to be a member of this in high school, to which there's no evidence. He's saying, here's how deeply entrenched I was in these people. I was the sole one responsible for putting these people in prison, having received authority from those people, the chief priests who were accusing me. They wrote letters to give me permission to do this. And I, when they were put to death, I was the testimonies against them. So just like these people are testifying against me, I did the same thing to put other Christians to death then. Verse 11, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. Now, this is a big... These are some details that we're learning about the Apostle Paul that are significant. So think about when Paul later in New Testament talks about feeling guilt from what he did in the past. Imagine being so raging, so and intimidating against these Christian people to such an extreme that you gloried in their blaspheming. Blaspheming, denial of Christ. And so think about, it kind of takes us back to when the apostles are hesitant to believe that Paul's for real. How many, and again, this is hypothetical, but how many of those that blaspheme the name of Christ came back to the apostles feeling guilty, asking for help? Meaning this, I hope I would not blaspheme Christ if being persecuted. I can't guarantee that I wouldn't. Right? Maybe time, place, intimidation, torture. I would say, you know what? You're right. Jesus is not the Christ. Jesus is not the one my allegiance is to. I denounce Christ. I denounce Jesus. And they let me go. And one of the things in the early church history writers that they talk about is what was the church to do with somebody who denounced Christ under those terms? That was early in. Should we excommunicate them for denouncing God? What if they do it multiple times? So what if they denounce God under threat of persecution? We restore them back, and then 2 months later they do the same thing in order to keep their job. One of the debates of the early church was, what do we do with these people? It's a complicated question, because I think certainly from an understanding standpoint, we all say, I get it. And yet we also want them to maintain their faith. So Paul is acknowledging in verse 11, I compelled, I was the sole one that compelled many people to deny that Jesus was the Christ and to blaspheme his name. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I chased them away to distant places. So I was not just stuck in Jerusalem. I was going after them. Somebody have comments, thoughts about what we've read so far? I'll say this last thing. I'll read this in the NASB. It says this. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. Again, I just love the adjectives that are used there. So descriptive, right? He was enraged. Furiously enraged. That's quite a strong.
Says I kept hunting them even to foreign cities, mm-hmm. harassing and persecuting them.
So I mean, just think of the hate and the rage in Paul's heart.
So if someone did not blaspheme Christ, he couldn't compel them to do that. So he chose them to the 10th degree to get that from them.
So the way I take it is, even when they escaped, he was hunting them down. Versus like running them out. Is that how you all read? How do you all read that? I read it as he wasn't like running them out of town as much as he's saying, they were running, and I'm hunting you down and going to bring you back and persecute you. What's that? And that's why he went to Damascus, correct? And I love that he's basically saying here, I was a part of the cog. I was a central cog in the whole thing that's happening right now. Right? Like, go ahead.
But that's so perfect. I mean, don't you think? I mean, he's testifying, he's witnessing to these people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, this is, I don't mean this wrong, but like, there's certain people like, that I've been, you know, someone's come to me and said, praise, praise my so-and-so, they're Catholic, and I really struggle with it. Like, when I go and talk to those people, it's like, I make a point of trying to establish that in order to talk to them about the Lord, about church. I feel like he's kind of taking the same route, saying, you know, we were the same. I was just like you, because he's wanting to open that door that they might actually listen.
And he kind of acknowledging, like, this is the same thing going on right now here. Like, he's describing something kind of the past. You know, I was somebody who chased people, hunted them down, brought them before courts, caused them to blaspheme, and kind of like subconsciously implying, by the way, this is what's happening right now, right? I'm the same way, and this is what's going on. And so, in a sense, I'm not ignorant to the cost. I know the significance. I know where this leads to because I carried it out on people. And yet I boldly stand before you again and testify of what's happening, or what you need to know, rather. Somebody else have a thought? I want to stop here because we're going to take a lot more time to get through the rest of 26. It'll take us at least a whole lesson to get through 26. Because we really want to look at some of the additional details that we learn in Paul's testimony that were not uncovered in the previous two accounts. And then also, of course, Agrippa's response, Festus' response, and this kind of conclusion of this matter. And then, you know, from this point on, we're kind of out. Once we get through this chapter, then we kind of zoom out from the whole court case scenes. We're not going to see any more of those. We're just going to see the travels to get to Rome and all the events that occur in his way to get to Rome. And then for me, I kind of feel, you know, disappointed because it just feels like the story's cut off. Right? We don't really learn. Like, it would have been, I would have preferred, you know, because I'm the one that should have written the Bible, right? I wish they would have just given the whole story, right? All the way to the end of where Paul dies, but that's not the intent of what's going on here. And we'll find out why also. So, anybody have any thoughts, comments, questions? Again, this is kind of a transitional chapter, so chapter 25 was, so there's just not a lot of significant things to cover in that chapter since it was transitional by nature.